that goes on behind the scenes that I don't know about, but you need to take that up with each other, because I can't decide for you who's going to do the bids. All we did was ask if we needed to have it bid out. That's all we asked.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, and I do see your emails coming in, and
so
it's... I guess what I'm just saying is, because you don't know the process and you don't know what we have on our plates,
right,
and you don't know that reaching out to the staff can kind of interfere sometimes, I'm trying to let you know that that's...
Thank you, and thank you for letting us know that, but we have asked for guidance all the way along, so I'm really not sure, like, what else we were supposed to do. We've asked for guidance on how to get this done or not done all the way along.
Same here.
Mr. Marefka.
So as Amy stated, we're getting ready to launch this great site. We're moving forward with City Hall sign and city entrance signs and intersection banners. But one of the other initiatives that we also talk about is, you know, we flirted around with a lot of ideas when we had the site to how we want to do this. Do we want to have billboards? Nah, that's boring. Do we want to have Instagram media? How do we want to push this? We wanted to give back to the community in ways that came through our research that we learned while conducting the logo. That's why we're doing the City Hall and the entrance sign. But one of the other things that we're looking to do is join a partnership with Rock Ventures to have a future home of a visitor center for the city of Franklin. We feel that this center will provide our visitors with location, with information on areas attracting lodging, maps, other items relevant to tourism. It'll be supported by a full-time employee dedicated to the Franklin Tourism Commission. In addition to that, in addition to the visitor center, we are also going to get potential branding change of Ballpark Commons. This conversation has been to potentially change it to Franklin Home, Franklin Yards, or even potentially keep it Ballpark Commons. With that partnership, we would also have the Milkman Stadium reflected to the community by changing it to Franklin Park and have signage that's coming off of Loomis Road and by the ticket entrance, and then also turf. Next page. This partnership will give us a shared voice in special events, marketing, economic development, and then community focus. With marketing, I mean, they do radio ads. It'll be on social media ads. Franklin's name will be plastered on their website. TV articles, direct mail. Mike gave us a great shout out with Milky Way when it was launched. We'll also have a shared voice with some events they have, Milkman Games, The Hills Have Eyes, Summer Concert Series, Food Truck Rallies, and Rock League Baseball. On top of that, they'd also partner with us with the 4th of July Celebration and the St. Martin's Fair for special events. Economic development, they have a lot going on there. Our name would be part of that as well. Community focus, I'll get more into that, but currently they do 4th of July at the Umbrella Bar. They have the Rock Foundation, community managers, and employment volunteers. So the partnership, it's an investment of $150,000 to from the commission. That's an all-in for our commission. And it's a 10-year agreement with, I believe there's language in there. We're still working through some of the language, but the language in there also is now putting us a little COVID language in there. And then also has a out of clause just in case anything tends to change.
Mayor.
They've been great to work with in terms of brainstorming partnership activities. Some of the things that we've talked about is opening day festivities, Franklin resident ticket blocks, having a fire department versus police department softball game, try to host some Franklin High School baseball games and softball games, do a Franklin Park wine walk to embrace other businesses in the community. We've talked about tailgate weekends, expanding on that a little bit. Franklin Moon Nights, even having a kite festival. some business connections to ways so that we can partner with other businesses in the community, start maybe a Franklin Bar Network with the Milkmen, start a restaurant of the game to try to give back to the community. And then community connections, doing some sort of Milkmen civic celebration fireworks, maybe, you know, call it that, or Franklin Library Milkmen Reading Challenge, do something with the library, or even sponsor an athlete with the high school. So that's about it. I'm going to talk about the budget.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I'm Callie Berg. I'm the Economic Development Director for the City of Franklin, and I'm also working to help administer some of the things that the Tourism Commission is working on, including this partnership. And one of the questions that we had, of course, was in light of the pandemic and the known reduction in room tax revenues as a result, and knowing that that is the primary and currently only source of income for the Tourism Commission, what does a contract such as this look like from a financial perspective, not only this year, but over the next couple of years as well? So I put together a rough spreadsheet that I would like to walk you through quickly. The information at the top is the revenues based on the retained earnings that the commission has had since its creation, less the expenditures that took place through the branding and the website, which were both expenses that were incurred last year. So we started with $469,951, and that goes across the first three columns there, original. And then there's a column with what happens if over the course of all of 2020, we see a 25% reduction in total room tax revenue. For those of you who may be listening or watching or in the room who were not aware, room tax is the only source of revenue for the Tourism Commission. There are no city taxes, no property taxes. Nothing is being taken away from any other initiatives in the city for the work of the Tourism Commission. But because it is our only source of revenue, it's very concerning to see the reduction in these revenues as they come in. So at 25%, working with the finance director on the budget in August of last year, we assumed that we would receive approximately $210,000 in total room revenues. This is, of course, after the city takes the portion of the room taxes that are allocated to municipalities before they go to tourism commissions. This is state law. So this year, the city will receive approximately $175,000. And that happens before the Tourism Commission receives any funding whatsoever. Once that threshold has been reached, the Tourism Commission will receive funding each quarter as the room taxes are paid in. And at the end of the year, if the $175,000 received this year is less than 30% of the total room taxes received by the city, then there is an adjustment made to ensure that the city receives either their portion or 30% of the total, whichever is greater. So we assume that we would receive, the Tourism Commission would receive approximately $210,000 this year. The revenues generated from the room tax has gone up each year, and as new hotels come online, we anticipate that that will continue to increase each year. Of course, the pandemic makes everything an exception this year. So in that middle column, with the reduction of 25%, that would take that revenue down to approximately $158,000. In the third column, if we see a 50% reduction, that would take it down to approximately $105,000. And that would give us total revenue in those three columns of three different figures. The expenses that have been budgeted in 2020 are for advertising, staffing, office supplies, etc., that come to a total of $439,000. That's a static number. And assuming that if we enter into this partnership with Rock Ventures, most, if not all, of those expenses will be rolled in and part of that partnership. So doing what we assume the expenses would be in 2021 in the middle column, and again in 2022 in that third column, and subtracting that out at the 25% reduction scenario, and the 50% reduction scenario takes you all the way down to the bottom under 2020. And that would be the end of year cash balance for no reduction, 25% reduction, and 50% reduction. So if we're assuming 50% reduction in 2020, We anticipate that there will still be $136,000 left in the Tourism Commission's funds at the end of this year after expenses. Any questions about that so far?
I think the mayor has questions.
Yes, that's why I'm stopping.
$627,585 less $195,000 brings you to $432,585. What am I missing?
Those three sections are not related to one another. The top section gives you revenue at three different scenarios. All three of those scenarios are applied to the first expense column for 2020. Actually, you know what? Can you put it on the camera and then I will point? That might make it a little bit easier.
You got revenue as of 1/1/20 of $470,000. That essentially is your retained earnings, right? Then you expect that you're going to have revenue of in 2020 of another $160,000, right?
I would guess that it's probably going to be closer to the $105,000 at the 50% of what
I don't care about that. The number you have on the page is $157,000.
That's at a reduction of 25%, though. I
don't care. That's the number you have on the page.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
So 469 plus 100 and, plus 157 brings you to 627, right?
Correct.
Okay. So then you take your expenses in 2021 of another 195, right?
No. All of the numbers are, so you, using that example of the 627.
This can't be complex math. It's got to be simple, right?
It is, but it's hard to explain. The 627 in the middle column with the 25% reduction is,
I don't care.
Then you subtract the total expenses of 439 and you get that year-end cash position minus 25% reduction of 188,585. If you take the third column with the 575,000 and you subtract the 439,000, you end up with 136,000.
Madam Clerk.
Not that I want to complicate things, but your 200...
I don't know how you could.
Well, your 210,000 that you're projecting for 2020, the actual 2019 was 175,000.
That's correct.
So
the forecast for the Tourism Commission has increased every year as the actual performance of the room revenues has increased every year. So the bottom numbers under 2020 are the three different scenarios at no reduction, 25% reduction, and 50% reduction. So if we're going to go with the 50% reduction, we assume that there will be $136,000 left over after all of our expenses in 2020. The middle column is assuming the 2021 expenses of $195,000 and is applying that same no reduction, 25% reduction, and 50% reduction, but assuming that the $210,000 that we use for forecasting this year is a static figure for the next 2 years, which it won't be, but we're making that assumption, which is a conservative approach. If we have another 50% reduction next year, we would have a balance of $46,000 left. And then carrying over into 2022, if we have a third year of 50% reduction, that's where we would end up with that figure in the red. Clearly, the model can't sustain at 50% reductions for 3 years running. There's no way that will happen. But there was no way to otherwise forecast a best case and a worst case scenario. And I'm sorry this is confusing. It's
we went back and forth about.
Yeah, there's just no really good way to try to. We believe that there will be likely a 50% reduction this year, a 25% reduction in 2021, and little or no impact in 2022. So given those scenarios, we'll probably end up, after a partnership with Rock Ventures and other expenses, we would still end up with sufficient capital or sufficient retained earnings or sufficient cash position with the Tourism Commission at the end of 2022 to continue to sustain that partnership. So the point I was trying to make tonight was that there has been a lot of thought that's gone into what happens if the pandemic is extended. Does the Tourism Commission have the ability to continue to sustain this? And that was what we were trying to demonstrate tonight. So If I could make this simplified for you in any way, I'm happy to do that.
Alderman Dandrea.
Kelly, did you use the number of rooms? Is that number static? Or did you, with the news from The Rock that there's going to be another hotel opening up, did you project
yeah, we did
increased
not.
Room numbers?
We did not. I wanted to be as conservative as possible, so I used 210 as a static number over the next couple of years, and then I assumed a 25 or 50% reduction over the next couple of years,
yeah,
along with the expenses that would include the partnership with Rock Ventures. And clearly there's many, many different scenarios. The best case would be that we would end up with $271,000 at the end of 2022, and the worst case scenario would be negative $43,000 if we have 3 years of 50% reduction and no new rooms coming online.
Well, then Mr. Zimmerman won't only be the parking attendant, he'll be also the collector.
This is true, yes, okay. Yes. And they are aware that, the pandemic is,
yeah,
has thrown our ability to really effectively long-term plan into a little bit of disarray, and we've had conversations about we're going to have to look at this every single year and make sure it still makes sense, to make sure that it's still meeting the goals of tourism for the Tourism Commission,
right,
and make sure that it is a financially viable thing for the Tourism Commission to buy each year.
Well, you informed us that this is a 10-year contract, so how can you review it every year?
Because we are looking at language in order to.
There's language going into it.
It's very fluid. What we started with a few months ago in early March is very different than what we're looking at today.
Yeah, most deals that are being done are going to be put through with a COVID line. This mm-hmm. There's going to be some sort of COVID agreement to this. We did address, I should state, that one of our commission members is with the hotels, and they're seeing a higher capacity rate, of course, from April versus May, and he sees that projecting up as the months go on. So we were a little concerned when we first started resuming our meetings that what is the capacity of hotels, and mm-hmm. where are we at long term? And the spike that we saw from April to May was large. I mean, I think it was 9% in April. Mm-hmm. I think, can quote me on this, but 25%
correct.
In May.
Yep.
So we're getting tourism. We're getting people staying at our hotel. So hopefully that trend continues. However, the concern was that we talked to Rock Ventures about was, what if COVID comes back? What if mm-hmm. what if it doesn't go away? What if it gets worse again? So that's why there has to be some sort of COVID language that goes into this deal.
One thing we haven't talked about formally, we've talked about it informally, is reimbursement to the city for Callie's time over the last 3 years. Callie and Aaron's time
Ouch.
Over the last 3 years. You knew it was coming
Ouch,
anyway.
I knew that was coming from you.
Because it's been serious dollars and serious amount of time. We haven't talked about that, but somehow that needs to figure in here. Because the taxpayers have been donating the money, and now we're going to, instead of giving it to the taxpayers, we're going to give it to a third-party entity. Doesn't seem quite fair to do that. So at some point, we've got to work those numbers in here, and they have to figure in as well.
All right, let's figure it out.
Right.
Yes.
Let's figure it out. We'll meet.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Can we back up to the partnership portion of this?
Sure.
So on page 4, you show this potential branding change with the ballpark. So explain what you mean by that.
So currently, it's Ballpark Commons, Franklin, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
We really wanted to, we brought up the conversations of whenever Rock Ventures brands the Umbrella Bar, brands the Ski Hill, brands whatever they're branding over on the property, we wanted to make sure that somehow Franklin's name is tied to that. With the naming rights to the stadium, that limits us to just the Milkman Games. If we go to try to figure out some sort of named potential branding change with taking away Ballpark Commons or adding to it and coming up with a Franklin Home concept or a Franklin Yards concept. That gives us exposure whenever anything is branded or marketed on the property. And we wanted to make sure that we secured those assets for the future for our community.
Okay, well, we have probably, I couldn't even imagine how many documents we have, legal documents that all say Ballpark Commons and, you know, TID agreements and things like that. So I don't know how that plays into that, but, you know, we start off the meeting tonight as this is a city project. It's a, you know, city, and we worked hard to get the word Franklin into this. We always thought that. We've given the project.
And that's why I said, I mean, it doesn't have to change. If we don't want it to change, I mean, that's fine. We just thought we'd like to give our branding and our community more exposure. And there was some comments before that didn't.
Well, okay. Do you want the floor?
No, I'm just answering your comment.
Okay. I wasn't finished. So I guess, you know, I don't have a huge objection to that, but I think we need to understand what that could all mean for legal documents and cost and changes. I have no idea what all the name is tied to in what we have for a city. The other thing is, if we're going to make a change like that from something that's kind of for years has been known as that, I think we need to have a little more conversation maybe with the council on if that's what the council wants to see for a change for the city as a city project. What are you getting for the $150,000 a year then?
The main purpose of the partnership was to put a visitor center on the property, and in addition to, we're getting the naming rights to the stadium and the partnership of in the Ballpark Commons.
And a full-time employee.
And the leverage from all of the marketing and promotion that they're already able to do, and bringing in additional
tourism businesses that are here in Franklin. For example, the idea of a kite festival would be to showcase Gift of Wings. The idea of the restaurant events would be to showcase different restaurants in the community. All of the work is to try to increase heads and beds. And the Tourism Commission was unanimous in believing that this would be a good strategy for us to achieve that goal.
Great goals. What I hear from my constituents are, hasn't Franklin itself given the stadium and the project enough money to already deserve the naming rights? I mean, $150,000 a year, we've dropped that, you know, in a very short period of time on like one engineering project or something. So I don't know how the rest of the council feels about the naming issue, but I would think that we all kind of feel we've invested a lot of time and money into the project. So and to make that change without having a little more discussion. The other thing is $150,000 a year basically for one location. There are a lot of businesses. I mean, the mayor mentioned the Point After, you know, and some of the other businesses. Is it going to limit some of those other businesses? Are we just going to focus just on one aspect? This is a great resource for the city. I've supported this project. But we have a lot of other businesses, and I'm wondering if the $150,000 a year couldn't be spent better helping out promoting Mimosa and promoting, you know, Point After and St. Martin's Inn and St. Martin's Fair. And it's a fair amount of money to put. Can have a room here, Alderman's room, it's practically open all the time, or a room at City Hall is free. And there would be more money to go around. I don't know if you've thought about any of those concepts or if this, you know, it just...
So one of the things that we really liked about the idea of having the visitor center be at the Rec is if you've been in visitor centers, like when you enter into the state of Wisconsin, for example, There's all kinds of brochures and information about events that are taking place, maps, all of that kind of information. So in that very static way, we would be promoting Mimosa, Point After, and all of the other, the Polish Center, the Conservancy for Healing and Heritage, Kayla's Playground, the list goes on and on and on. And we do have a comprehensive list, and I think it's like 120 different places or businesses in the city that would be of interest to tourists. What we're looking for is amplification. And to have a visitor center at City Hall isn't a bad idea, but the hours aren't necessarily conducive to when tourists are going to be looking for that information, which is something that we can get going over to Rock Ventures. And if we were to do a visitor center through a private transaction and pay rent, I think that that would probably eat up quite a bit of the $150,000. We have not done a market study on that, but for getting a full-time person, a visitor center, and a space, it seemed to the commission like that was a pretty good deal.
Well, when you bring up the fact that if you're going to have a lot of different brochures for different places and you'll have a lot of people coming in and out, it makes sense as long as this visitor center is accessible to, you know, all the people that are coming over there. I don't know what kind of facility or office or where are you planning to be located.
That's all still being discussed. The commission has been having very in-depth discussions amongst ourselves about how we want to approach this, and now we are continuing to have those in-depth discussions with Rock Ventures. So there's a couple of different places that we could do it. We're definitely having those discussions. Like you said, this area is really something special to our city, and our job as the Tourism Commission is to get people to come to our city, and we really think that partnering with them can help us do that, and we also really think that partnering with them can help us not have to piecemeal out all the different things that we want to do. So one of the things that the commission has really talked about is how doing something like this is, it's a little bit like, whoa, what are we doing? But it's also a big splash that gets us kind of 5 years down the road instead of having to piecemeal kind of build this stuff as we go. So, we're going to be able to do like our marketing through them, and we're going to be able to, there's a lot of things that we're going to be able to get out of this partnership to advance tourism in this city. I'll tell you, it's been kind of an uphill battle. I remember my very first city council meeting ever, an alderman said, there's no tourism here. So, to go from there's no tourism here to wanting to take us where we can get 5 years down the road in a short period of time and get us up to snuff with some of our area kind of competitors for people to come visit us is really important to this commission, and that's our whole focus, is getting people to come here and stay here.
Is there some partnership with the Chamber of Commerce?
Yes, we've been working with them as well, and we will continue to do that.
Do they have their own office now?
They have an office out of Oak Creek. So they work out of Oak Creek, and so we will continue to be working with them. She attends every single one of our meetings, and they're very.
Were they interested in a Franklin branch joint?
Yeah, absolutely. They may be. That will be something we would broach for sure.
So I do have concerns about, yes, all the staff time and money that's been put out, and then the drop in the revenue and committing to, this. What you have for the investment for your $150,000 a year is an annual budget, and what happens when you can't make that?
Well, that's why we're still having these discussions, and that's why we haven't signed on any dotted lines. That's why we want to make sure that there's language in the contract that will protect the commission and the city, so that if something happens and we cannot make budget, we'll be able to figure out a way to continue the partnership or continue to work around how that would end up. So we haven't signed anything. There isn't any like sort of dotted line action happening yet or anything like that. We're having all those conversations because we too share those concerns. That was, one of my first things when we started meeting again was